Sec-3 computation was probably the bottleneck because we're generating the, you know, the chain of signed zones. But NSEC-3 does go a long way to solving the bottleneck on the TLD side compared to using NSEC. And I know that there were some previous people talking about their experience with NSEC. So our experience there has been that with NSEC-3, and we had to make some underlying changes to the way that algorithm worked, and actually to get the performance that we wanted out of the system to be able to do updates very quickly in under a minute when there are changes in that larger data set.
Anything else from other members of the panel?
Lars Lehmann from Autonomica. We've heard a lot of talk about performance of the systems, but I would like to shift that performance issue to something that Andre Shuri talked about earlier this morning, which is actually funneling all this data out to the end nodes that serve it to the internet. If you have very large zones or large amount of zones, the signing policy has a very big impact on the amount of data you have to shift in every zone transfer going out to the end nodes. Have you done any analysis of how various signing policies affect the size of data chunks that you need to ship out, and also from a security perspective, what security implications these have on the DNS secure systems?
I could answer to some of that at least. One thing that we've noted working with .se is that we have kind of a balance between security and keeping the number of changes down. And since DNSSEC doesn't, as all of you are aware of, doesn't have a key revocation mechanism, the only defense we have and the only way to handle compromise keys or that types of incidents are actually to have very short signature lifetimes. And if you have very short signature lifetimes, of course, you need to push out new signatures rather frequently. In the ultimate world, I would like to have signature lifetimes of maybe 24 hours. In that case, we could resolve a compromise key within 24 hours. Currently for SE, we have some keys in the zone which have 6 weeks signatures, and we have most data about a week. And that may be a reasonable configuration at this point, but I would like to make it shorter if possible. But I also understand that some operators actually want to have it longer to keep the number of changes down. So it's a rather difficult balance between security and ops requirements at this point.
Any other comments? Do your products include mechanisms to tweak this according to the policy that the zone owner wants to use? Per zone and explained in a useful fashion?
So at least within the Secure 64 product, you can set up policy either globally or on a zone-by-zone basis. So you can decide what size of key, what algorithm you want to use, what the rollover periods are, and so forth, on a zone-by-zone basis. And obviously that has quite a bearing on amount of data to be pushed out. I don't have sort of quantitative results, showing a whole lot of different, sizes of keys and so forth here with me right now to be able to answer the question quantitatively. But the flexibility is there for you to control the parameters on a zone-by-zone basis that would affect the size of the data to be pushed out.
Okay. And also the cycle jitter, so to speak, so that you don't have everything happening on the Monday morning.
Okay. That's something we've certainly been talking about. Right now, if you have lots of zones to be signed, that the good news is, from that perspective, that DNSSEC is still being adopted sort of incrementally.
Yep.
So we have small numbers of zones to be signed. I think when you have when you really do have to deal with 300,000 zones or something like that being signed, that's a very real issue, and it was certainly one that we've given some thought to at Secure 64. But I can't say we've got the solution right here, right now, for the how do you randomize the point in time that these things come up for renewal.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that you, the thought is in your mind.
Yes. We have, of course, all the policy can be changed from the MetaMask tool. We also, for the delivery from the MetaMask central, where the DNS signed zone will then be transported to the DNS service, really, we have there a protocol that is kind of smart and looks what really changes are there. So we make incremental changes. We don't send the whole zones all the time, but only what have been changed between what is currently in the new signed zone in the central and on the DNS server. That communication is also compressed, and it is secured with cryptographic keys, the communication between central and the DNS server controller with IIS encryption. And also we have built in that not every change immediately will trigger re-signing. Instead, there's a lazy signing in there that you can configure. So the system waits for like a minute in default. Is there more change to be coming? And only if that is the case, it will then do the real signing, or will send it to the signer, because we don't sign ourselves, but it will send it to the signer engine, and then we'll get back the DNS signed zone. So there is something in there which can be tweaked, but it of course must be more tested in broader environments to really make sure that this is the latest word in performance and tweakability of DNSSEC policies and zone sizes and so on.
Thank you.
I could add a small thing here about signature lifetimes, of course. Depending on the type of protection you have of your private keys, that will, of course, influence how long signature lifetimes you may want to have. So if, for example, if you have keys on disk, you are much more vulnerable to the compromise if you have it on an HSM. So maybe for large zones, of course, an HSM would help that to mitigate that risk a lot and keep the signature lifetimes up. At least if you look at other types of areas, like the PKI business, they apparently don't have a problem with having a CA with a 30-year signature lifetime, right?
Roy Arndt, Nominat. One of the things I'm missing, maybe it has been said, but for very large zones, not specifically for a very large amount of zones, but for very large zones that are delegation-centric, there is something called opt-out. And I know Mark said it on his presentation. Opt-out goes a long way. Instead of a 5-fold, 6-fold increase in zone size, you have a 0.002% increase in zone size. With regards to changes, incremental zone transfers, you won't see any impact on your deployment if your customers, of course, or if your delegations have not secured their zones. So, on another note, what we've been doing on at Nominat, because I see this thing, deployment plans and obstacles, we've been involved in DNSSEC for quite a while. Me personally, even longer than it was before my time at Nominat, I was doing DNSSEC. One of the things that was mentioned before, that is a really good point, is you need to have something asynchronic between the dynamic updates coming in, or the changes coming in, and the changes going out. And for instance, at Nominat, we do dynamic updates once a minute, and we really don't want to have incremental changes once a minute. We rather have, or maybe we do, but we want to be in control of this. We want to have it asynchronous. Other stuff that we've been doing at Nominat to deploy DNSSEC, and we had a huge effort that started 3 years ago, and it's called that basically was the NSEC 3 standardization that was carried out by Nominat. We also a different leg that we had to stand on was HSM support. About 3 years ago, we saw the absolute need to store keys on HSMs. We could not believe that with bind you basically stored keys on disk. And we know why it has been done, it's because export regulations and all that jazz, but it was so 1990s. So other stuff that we've been doing is with this HSM testing, we actually found some bugs in the Solaris cryptographic framework, so we've been working with Sun to solve these bugs. And we've been able to push out 40,000 signatures a second with, I understand, 1024-bit RSA keys with cryptographic hardware. So that also goes a long way. We've been doing stuff on CASP. CASP is the key and signing policy that Jacob was talking about before. It's a project initiated by Nominet. We also started work on NACP, that's the Name Server Control Protocol, basically to help deploy not just DNSSEC, but DNS in general. Sorry, not deploy, manage. We have done some research with regards to those Soho boxes, the little home office equipment. We've done that together with Core Competence. It was recently it got some discussion on several DNSSEC deployment lists. And well, that's basically it. We of course internally we are working on our own solution. We're working very hard with Jacob and some others. On OpenDNSSEC, we're trying to establish some first principles there, and one of the first principles that I think is really important is there should be no or very little humans involved. The humans involved should be replaceable and low cost, and it should, if you deploy DNSSEC, sorry, if you build a solution for DNSSEC, so with an OpenDNSSEC, for instance, if you build a solution for DNSSEC, it should be as trivial as, for instance, SSH was for Telnet, as HTTPS was for HTTP. You should not confuse the end user, you should not confuse the operator, it should just go and run. So I really like the point about having sensible, reasonable defaults in there. So, and of course we will put everything that we do on our own site. We have a blog, a technical blog. Anything that we can publish that we would do jointly with IIS and others, we will also emit through the OpenDNSSEC wiki. That's basically what we're doing at Nominet.
Hi, John Dickinson. I just wanted to follow up on your comment about having lots of zones, and you mentioned numbers like 300,000 zones. If you've got 300,000 zones, you're going to have at least 1 million keys, probably a lot more. That means you're going to have at least 2 million key files, one for the private and one for the public key. Get an HSM and use it. I mean, I can't imagine